Good morning. What a beautiful day we have to come into God's house. And it's a privilege for me to be here this morning. I don't know if anybody understands technology, but I just had all my notes sitting there and my iPad just quit working. How do you like that? So if you look at your bulletin, I guess you would think that I like coffee. I mean, that's the picture you got of me, drinking coffee. You're right. I do like coffee. And one of the reasons why I like coffee is because it was a way that my wife and I didn't used to like it, but it was a way that my wife and I were able to connect in the morning because she liked coffee and she needed her coffee to get going. And so I started drinking coffee with her so I could connect with her in a different way in the morning. You know, start our day with a cup of coffee. You know, cup of coffee and milk. Now, just 2 cups of coffee in the morning, we're good to go. And so that picture is a picture of me probably doing something that I enjoy. And it's a great way that I've used to kind of take and look at what we're going to talk about today. Being a ripple starter, okay? But I want to talk to you a little bit this morning before we get going. I want to talk to you about something that God's put in my heart years ago, and it was about how do we connect the body of Christ in a community to support the young people in a church. You got to understand that Tina and I go a long way back, a long way. Because I've been doing youth ministry. She was part of our youth group, okay? And for me, I go back a long way to Canton, Ohio. It's where my journey began, and that journey began in Canton. God began to put on my heart this burden for young people. And that's why I continued to do what God called me to do. How many of you want to do what God called you to do? Well, I've been doing what God called me to do for 44 years. Now, I still am working with young people. And I still am challenging people to step up and do so. Ken, I got to ask a question. If I walk around, is the camera following me or is it right on that? Perfect, okay? I didn't want to be walking around and not in a camera. So the thing is that God put on my heart that passion and that vision to what would it look like if people in the church really supported the vision of reaching young people in their church. And so this slide that I put up that was up there a few minutes ago, it was kind of a question that asked, what if we could connect people in your church to pray for the youth in your church? And what if we could connect you to schools that you have in common in your church so you could pray, you could mentor, and you could help provide resources for young people that want to make a difference in their schools? And then what would happen if in a community we could tie all that together, we could put all the churches together, all the people at the same schools, all the students at the same schools, and we could build an army of people that could support Gen Z. A few weeks ago, I stood before a group of leaders in Minneapolis, is where I'm from, leaders that have been working together for a really long time. And I had with me a 17-year-old kid, and I looked at that crowd of people, and I said, I've stood before you, because I'd stood before that group of people with Gen Xers. How many think they're a Gen Xer? How many baby boomers we have here? Okay. How many Gen Xers are here? Okay. How many millennials are here? How many Gen Z? All right. So I stood and I said, you know what? I've stood here before you with Gen Xers. And I've challenged you to get behind these kids that are making a difference in their schools. Then I looked at them and I said, I've also stood here with millennials in front of the same people, a lot of you, and said, Will you get behind the millennials? And I said, today I'm standing here with Andrew, a 17-year-old kid at Minnetonka High School. And I said, he's a Gen Zer. Are you going to fight for him? You know why, church? Because we've lost a lot of ground in society from the time we were looking at Gen Zers to Gen Xers. The world's a lot different place for a Gen Xer than it is for a baby boomer. In church, everybody's fighting for Gen Z. Everybody. Society's fighting for Gen Z. Marketers are fighting for Gen Z. Political parties are fighting for Gen Z. The real question is, will the church? Because they're not just kids going to school. These kids are living, a lot of these kids live on mission to go to school and make a difference in their world. But church, will you fight for them? Because we cannot afford to go any further than we are now, statistically. 4% of Gen Z have a biblical worldview. So Pastor Ken's going to be talking to you about something. He'll probably be talking to teachers. He'll be talking to students. He'll probably be talking to individuals about being part of what's called Campus Ignite. Can we go to the slide of my wife? My wife. That's Rachel. My wife, she was a young youth pastor's wife when she was in Canton, Ohio. And she would love to be here this morning, but she can't travel with me at times, and so she's not able to be here. And then this is my family. I have two kids. I have a married kid, married son, my daughter and her three girls, and my son and his three kids. We had five girls. We went 9, 7, 5, 5, 3, and then we finally got our little boy who's one. So it's an exciting time in the Busho family. And God is doing some incredible things in the lives of people today. You agree? How many of you believe God's doing something in your world right now? Yeah, God's up to something that's really big in our world today. And the thing is that God wants to use you and he wants to use me to make a difference in the world that he's calling us to reach. See, it wasn't a new concept and it wasn't some new innovation. It wasn't a groundbreaking idea. But when I began to really begin to unpack it, and I began to ask questions of people, the response I was getting was really surprising to me. I was in a room with men that were in their 30s, and their 40s, and their 50s, and their 60s. And I began to ask them the question of how it fit into their personal life and how it fit into their professional life. How the experiences that they had had and how it impacted them and what percentage of people they thought it impacted. And they told me it impacted 5%. So that meant in a room where 100 people came together, that out of 100 people, only 5% of people would respond to this. Who of you is involved in a mentoring relationship with someone in their life? Or let me qualify it this way. Who has a 2 Timothy 2:2 relationship with someone in their life? And the statistics show us that only 5% of people. See, the church has a mission, and it's the mission to make disciples. I've asked Titus to help me. Titus, come on, buddy. We're going to do something here. Are you with me today? How many are with me? You with me? Okay. So, I believe that 2 Timothy 2:2, Paul says it this way. These things you've heard me say in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to reliable others who are qualified to teach others. So I've asked Titus here. Titus, how old are you, buddy?
I'm 18.
18. You look like you probably played soccer or played basketball or
football.
Okay. Running back? D-back.
Running back.
Running back. So you're pretty fast, I bet. Did you ever get hit?
Yeah.
Oh, I got hit a lot. Okay. So I am going to do something. I want everybody to stand. Okay? I am going to set a timer for Titus. And I'm going to give Titus a timer, and we're going to go 5 seconds. And I have asked Titus to touch, and when he touches you, okay, I don't care who you are, where you are, I don't care if you're in the back or the front, when Titus touches you, I want you to sit down, okay? So, Titus, it's the floral. Okay. Here we go. We got the play. Here we go. Ready? You got 5 seconds. Go. Sit down. 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 Time. That's it. That's it. That's it. You're done. Wow. You didn't even count. It was past 5 seconds. Yeah, you can stand. Yeah, you have to stand back up. Did you touch anybody after you touched him? Okay. Did you touch him? He touched you? Okay, you have to sit down too. Oh, you have to stand up. You have to stand up. I'm sorry. I'm confused. Okay. So now we're going to do something. This might really, really make you uncomfortable, okay? This might make you really, really uncomfortable. But I want everybody to move right over next to somebody else. All the way. All across the aisles. Everybody. Everybody. Sir, I'm sorry. I don't expect you to move, okay? I understand that. Okay, you don't have to move. I want everybody to move over. Come on, it's not going to work if everybody doesn't move over. You can't stand in the aisle, though, okay? Everybody stand up. Everybody. So what's going to happen now is when your hand is, or when Titus touches you, you're going to touch the person next to you, and you're all going to sit down. So Titus touches you, you sit down. And so you got it? How many got it? Okay? So Titus, so this row of people right here, you're all going to put your hands out in the aisle. All the way back. All the way back. What's your 4-4-40?
What's your 4?
He's a 4-5. Oh, man, the 40. Do you know how fast the 4-5 is? Huh? I bet there's nobody else in this entire church that runs a 4-5. I mean, that's really, really fast, folks. 5 seconds. How far can you get?
That's no problem.
He can get there. Okay. Here goes. Get your hands out. Okay, he hits your hand, you sit down. Okay? I gotta get my timer going. That's my alarm clock there. Okay, we're going to reset this, baby. Here we go. Ready? Go! Stop! Thanks, Kale. Tad, just come back here, buddy. That was a 4-5. You think you can get all the way back and faster? Okay, everybody stand up again. Okay. Come on. He thinks he can do it faster. Okay. Because see, we're gonna get this. Okay. 4-3 this time, not 4-5. 4-3. Four, three. Here we go. On your mark. Get set. Go. Kale, have you slowed down? Stopped. One more time. Come on. One more time. One more time. Come on. Hurry up. Hurry up. Got to run. I got to preach. Come on. Now he's winded. Look at him. Do you need a break? Anybody else run a 4-5? Okay. Here we go. Fast. All the way out that door if you have to. No, not out the door, but you know what I'm talking about. Okay. Here we go. Ready? Come on, you guys sit down faster too. Go! Stop! All right, we did it. We did. That was... Give Caleb a big hand. Or Titus. Caleb Titus. Titus, sorry. Sorry, Titus. I'm talking about Timothy and my Caleb's and my Timothy's and Titus got mixed up. All right. Well, you didn't have to move back. I didn't say move back, did I? Well, for that, I'm going to stay down here and talk to you. How's that? You see the addition and multiplication? How many people was Titus able to touch? Maybe with his 4-3 speed, 4-5 speed. 4-5? 4-3? 4-5? Okay. You ran a 4-3 just now, so just let you. With his speed and his quickness and his agility, he was able to touch maybe 10. But when I had him run down the aisle and we went domino effect, every one of you in 5 seconds sat down. Think about that. Because see, there is a passage of Scripture that talks about following me. Paul said it in 1 Corinthians, the 11th chapter and verse 1. He said, follow my example. As I follow Christ's example. He said, follow my life. As I follow Christ. The question is, are you ready to do that? Are you ready to follow Christ as the example? You know, in the passage of Scripture in Mark, the 12th chapter and verse 30, it talks about what Ken has been talking about. It talks about growth. And every one of us in our lives need to grow in our relationship with Jesus Christ. Because if we're not growing, we're dying. And Mark tells us, he says, love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, and with all of your mind. And then he said, love your neighbor as yourself. Two incredible commandments that are given in Scripture, that we are to love ourselves and love the Lord. And then we're to love others in our world. How many know today that our world needs love? They might not look like you. They might not act like you. They may be very, very different than you, but they need you to love them. Not judge them, love them. Because our world today, sometimes it's we belong. Then we're able to be able to believe because we have a group of people around us that have loved us to the point that we want to love others. See, my grandkids, I have 6 of them. And when they come over, they can put a lot of toys in a lot of different places. And when it's time to clean up, and we ask them to clean up, we say, will you clean up or clean up? And they start to pick up a few things and then they quit. But when I command them to pick up, I don't use my voice, but you know, this isn't a suggestion, kids. You're going to pick this up. There's a difference between suggesting picking up the toys and demanding that the toys be picked up. A command is not just a good suggestion. A command, friends, is a command. And Jesus told you and I to love ourselves, love Him, and love others. How are we doing there? How are you doing? You see, I just came from a meeting in Kansas City with a whole bunch of leaders, 150 leaders from all across the country, from every different organization that's reaching kids. Denominational leaders, parachurch leaders, TOPS. And in this meeting, we talked about reaching people in our world, loving people in our world. Do you know, friends, there are 68,000 middle schools, junior highs, and high schools in America. And do you realize there are 25 million young people in our schools? And I've been saying since my days in Canton, Ohio, the greatest mission field that America has is the campus. Remember I told you about Gen Xers, and I told you about millennials, and I told you about Gen Z? The greatest mission field that we have today is what? Our schools. In church, we have an opportunity with kids that face loneliness and anxiety and depression and suicide and inadequacy to make a difference. But it's not going to take Titus running through and touching a few people. It's going to take somebody that starts a ripple and it ripples through the whole entire church. That's the question I raised today. Are you kind of tired? Are you kind of tired in your spiritual life of just not going anywhere? Sometimes not seeing anything happen? Are you tired of that? Because today my challenge to you is to not only grow in your relationship with Jesus Christ and understand that we have a world to reach, and that each one of us are called to go and make disciples. We're not called to just make it. We're called to make disciples. 2 Timothy puts it this way. Paul tells Timothy. Timothy tells reliable others. Reliable others tell others. And so on, and so on, and so on. I can't imagine, Tina, the people that your life has touched since we sat in that little youth room in Canton, Ohio. I cannot imagine the people that God has brought into your life and the people that you've been able to impact for the cause of Christ. And every one of us has some kind of story. Some of us have been in the battle for a really long time, and some of us were new to it. Some of us have been like Tina and touching people their whole entire life. And some people have done that accidentally, and some people have done it on purpose. And I'm asking you today to not do it accidentally. I'm challenging you to make ripples on purpose. You know, when you look at our world and you realize just how hurting it is, you sang the song, "Draw Me Nearer." I am thine, O Lord. I've heard your voice. It's kind of interesting because I haven't heard that song in church for a long time. But the other night, at this meeting in Kansas City, they had a prayer time where we just got alone and they asked us to get on our knees. And as I got on my knees and I began to pray, I said, "I'm yours, Lord. I'm yours." And I began to think of the song, "Draw Me Nearer, Lord." And I began to bawl. And when you sang it this morning, I welled up in tears. I honestly did. God was touching my heart. Because, see, I was burdened. It had been a while, really, honestly, it had been a while since I had wept over the generation that God had called me. I mean, I worked in it, but in Kansas City on Thursday night, I wept over the fact that kids were living in depression, that a generation was isolated, that kids were committing suicide. You know, God works in incredible ways, doesn't he? And I'm telling you this morning that God has not just brought you here to hear another message. Ken has been talking to you about growing. I'm here today to activate your faith, to be a ripple maker. You see, discipleship sometimes, when we talk about discipleship, we go, "Oh man, how can I be a disciple? How can I make disciples? I'm not even a really good disciple." Anybody ever feel that way? Come on, be honest. And we look and we go, "I'm not even qualified." But you know what? You're qualified, friend. It doesn't matter where you are on a journey. See, when we talk about evangelism, we talk about reaching the lost. Just because you're not an extrovert, or just because you don't have a lot of friends, or just because you're not in a lot of social circles or whatever, it doesn't give you the card to say, I don't have to do that. Jesus didn't have any qualifiers in that verse. He just said, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel, the good news to everyone, everywhere." Church, we got to start doing that. See, if we really dumb down stuff, and we look at Acts, the first chapter and verse 8, it says, "You will receive power when the Holy Ghost comes upon you, and you will be" what? "A witness." Where? Jerusalem. I'm telling you this morning, you don't have to listen to what I'm saying, but I'm telling you, church, your story matters. In your world, I won't probably ever come in contact with any people in your world. But your story, of hope, love, forgiveness, change matters to someone in your world. But it's not just to present the gospel, the good news. Jesus says, we're going to go a little bit further than that. We're not just going to try and make it to the pearly gates. But we have a responsibility to do what? To take that message, to take our story, to take the part that God has given us, to begin to invest in other people's lives. And that's why I call it just simply, be a ripple starter. Because just like somebody needs to hear your story, there's somebody in your world. There's somebody right now in your world that needs you to not accidentally make a connection, but to ask God to help you, lead you, guide you, direct you to that person or those people in your life that He needs you to start a ripple. A ripple. Canton, Ohio. Do you know where it went? Do you know where it went? When you're on the East Coast? Do you know where it went? When you were in Ohio? Do you know where it went? You don't know. But the challenge that we have is that to start a ripple. Find somebody, start a ripple. Now I'm going to get real practical. How do you start a ripple? The first thing you do is you make a connection. First of all, there's the desire. How many have, okay, let's back the train up a little bit. Okay, I've been talking to you. Ken's talked to you about growth. How many want to grow in God? Come on. Lift your hand. How many want to grow in God? How many want your life to make a difference in somebody else's life? So Ken's been talking about that. Today I'm here to challenge you to activate it. And I'm going to give you some practical things. The practical things I'm going to give you this morning, I believe you'll be able to apply them to your life. The very first thing is you have to have a desire. If you have a desire, I'm going to challenge you to make a connection. The first thing that you do in being a ripple starter is to make a connection. How do you make a connection? I believe you make a connection by making a phone call, by sending an email, sending a text, talking to somebody. It can be that simple. You start a ripple by making a connection with somebody. So my question is, as you're thinking and you're processing this morning, is there anybody in your world that needs you to start a ripple? First step, start a ripple. The second step in starting a ripple after you make a connection is that you have a conversation. You set a time, you set a place, you set an opportunity for you to begin to have the conversation. If you never make the connection, you'll never have the conversation. But if you have the conversation, then the third thing you need to do is you need to find common ground. What is it that you have in common? I had a fun story. I was playing golf. I love golf. I didn't have 4 or 5, but I played football. I played baseball. I played basketball. and I play golf. The only thing I do today is I shoot baskets and I play golf, okay? I was competitive in all of them, but I'm still competitive in golf. I was playing golf. A friend of mine invited me to play golf with this guy. I spent hours with him. I spent 4 hours on the golf course with him. We were talking. We talked about life. We talked about all kinds of different things. We talked about faith. We talked about God. He wasn't a believer. But I began to plant a seed in his life. I began to make a little bit of a ripple in his life. And I was sitting in a meeting with a bunch of leaders in Minneapolis. And the guy that was leading that meeting, he mentioned that he had just talked to a guy from a company, and his name was Ken, in his office that morning, and he led him to Jesus. And then he goes, you know, some people plant a seed, some people water it, and some people get the harvest. And my heart inside was leaping because I knew that was the guy that I had been talking to. And I knew that I had had a little bit of starting a ripple that began to make a difference in that guy's life, and he came to know Jesus at a friend of mine's office. You see, you make the connection, you have a conversation. After you have a conversation, you simply find common ground. I use my slingshot. What's yours? You know how I connect with people? I often connect with people at a coffee shop. And I'll connect with them in different areas. If I see somebody and I start a conversation, I look how I can make the connection. But when I get the connection, I take a picture of them. I take a selfie. I get their cell number. And I send them a text. Okay? And maybe you can't do that, but I do it. It's my way of connecting. But I use whatever I can to connect with people to make a difference in the world that I live. My world, I never know what that little thing that I did. I never know the ripple that it will begin to make. After you've taken and you have done that, and you have found that common ground, the next thing is you determine how consistent will that relationship be? Will it be a cup of coffee? Will it be a season of life? Or will it be a lifetime? I want to tell you something. And I want you to think about this. It cannot be a lifetime till it's a cup of coffee. And what God's calling you to do, He called you to grow. He called you to grow in your faith. And that's what Ken has been challenging you to do. And as I look up here, I go, your church, I go, I'm in the right place. Loving, developing, giving, giving and living, and growing. And you've been challenged to grow, and I'm going to challenge you to take the next step to help somebody else grow. I'm going to challenge you to hashtag ripple starters. How many think that works? To be a ripple starter. To look for somebody in your world you can make a connection with. To look for somebody in your world that you can begin to have a conversation with. To look for somebody in your world that you can find common ground with, and to look for somebody that you can determine the consistency of that relationship. Friends, God's calling you. He's activating you. He's making the opportunities He's going to put in front of you. Because once you begin to say, God, I'm there, I'm willing, you watch what He'll do. You watch this week. You watch tomorrow. You watch and see what God will begin to do in your life. You know what? I am excited because I know I'm in the right place. And I know God has something very special for this congregation, because as you look up and you look around and you use your slingshot to make a difference, it's going to happen. So the question is, are you all in? I know. I've been around the church all my life. My dad was a pastor, so they call me a PK. We used to have Sunday night services, and I'd fall asleep at the altar. My dad would come over, and he'd go, Dan, we're done. I'm going, oh, okay, let's go home. But there were other nights I was at that altar and I was bawling my eyes out before God. For my friends. For what he's calling me to do. So I've been around the church a long time, and I know that sometimes it goes in one ear and out the other. And I prayed. You asked me almost a year and three months ago, when we were in Canton, Ohio, if I'd come and be here this Sunday. And I've been asking God to make this Sunday so important for your church. Because, yes, you need to grow. But I'm going to tell you something. When you begin to invest in somebody else, you really will grow. See, I'm going to challenge you to change. To change what you're thinking, to change how you've been living. I'm going to challenge you. I'm going to upset the apple cart today. And I'm going to challenge you to change. Because I know that if you change, you will grow, my friends. And if you grow, you will change. And so as we look this morning and we go, okay, I'm there, Dan. I'm all in. I'm all in. Jesus says this, the harvest is plentiful. The workers are few. Pray the Lord of the harvest to thrust forth people into the harvest field. Next verse says, go, I'm sending you. Let's start some ripples. I came this morning challenge you to wake up. It might be your grandkids. It might be your kids. It might be your neighbor's kids. It might be your friend's kids. It might be some young person in this church. It might be the generation below you. Whoever it is. Who is it that God is calling you? Wake up. And then I'm challenging you to stand up and do something. And I'm going to challenge you to speak up in your world, because your world needs to hear your story. And I'm going to challenge you as a church in this city to rise up to make a difference in your world. In Isaiah, the 6th chapter, it says this. And in the year King Uzziah died, he said, I saw the Lord who's high and lifted up, and seated at the throne, and the train of his robe filled the temple. And above him were seraphim, each with 6 wings, and 2 wings, and they covered their faces, and 2 wings they covered their feet, and 2 wings were for flying. And they were calling one to another, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. The whole earth is filled with your glory. And at the sound of their voices, the doorposts and the thresholds shook, and the temple was filled with smoke. Woe to me, I cried. I'm ruined. I'm a man with unclean lips, and I live among people of unclean lips, and my eyes have seen the King and the Almighty. Then the Lord said to one of them, seraphim flew to me, and a live coal in his hand, and he touched the tongs to my lips. And he says, your guilt is taken away, and your sin is atoned. Friends, your guilt is taken away. As a child of God, your guilt is taken away. Your sins have been removed. You have a story that needs to be told to your world. There are people in your world that they need you to be a ripple starter. Then as Isaiah said, then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send? And who will go with us? And he simply said, here am I. Here am I. Kansas City, I'm thine, O Lord. Heard your voice. Draw me nearer, draw me nearer. God, here am I. Here am I. Draw me nearer, God. I'm not a crier. I'm really not. Here am I, Lord. Send me. God brought me from Minneapolis and left that beautiful family this morning to come and not just go through motions. I'm not very good at just going through motions, friends. God brought us here for a purpose this morning. And he's saying to you, and he's saying to me, and he's taking that coal from that hot, hot fire, and he's touching your lips, and he's saying, I don't care if you're undone. I don't care where you've been. I don't care what you've done. I want to use you. That's what the signal was. I want to use you. But the response has to be, here am I, Lord. Send me. So I go back to where we were a few minutes ago, and I ask, are you ready? I mean, we can grow, and we're going to grow in Jesus, and we're going to grow in our relationship, but there's a world that needs you to start a ripple. There's a world that needs you to be a ripple starter in their world, in your world. And this day is a day of you saying, here am I, Lord, send me. I want you just to bow your heads. You know, the experience that I had in Kansas City was so real to me. And I've been doing this for many, 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 4 decades. And God made it so real that there are people in my world that are lost and dying and hurting. And I answered that cry right when he was calling me and I was praying. I said, God, I'm here. Draw me near. Send me. I want to go. I want to go. I want to make a difference. I just don't want to be a Christian in a world that people go that never says anything, never does anything, they just come to church. I want to be somebody that makes a difference. And I believe no matter what your age is, no matter where you're at in life, that you are called to make a difference. So as you're sitting there this morning with your head bowed in kind of a reverent posture in church this morning, will you just say, "Here am I, Lord. Send me." Father, this morning, there's a cry that's coming from a world that doesn't even know you, that are hurting, they're lost, living in depression, feeling isolated, feeling worthless, and they're in our world. And you've called us. You've been given us the power to take our message, the message that you have put in our lives through our story to our world. As we tell our story to our world, Lord, there are people that need to hear it. But then there are people in our world, God, that we need to reach out and we need to help to ignite purpose in their life, passion in their life, and faith. So this morning I pray you will begin to do something in your people, that they will be hashtag ripple stars. Amen.